Rob Sebastian here. Today we have the greatest counselor and helper of young men and women in our world today, Pastor Eddie Lapine. Pastor Lapina was the youth pastor of the largest Baptist church in the United States for 27 years, helping teens to deal with the hurts, pains, and difficulties that young people face in today's society. Having spoken to an estimated 500,000 young people collectively through the years, he now serves as the administrative pastor at the First Baptist Church in Hammond. Pastor Eddie was invited on the Searching for Mr. Right show because he and his wife are a shining example for the youth in every country on the earth. Okay, Pastor Lapina, so I want to thank you for coming today. I'm so happy to have you. My first question for you is I want you to tell us about the circumstance and events where you first set eyes on the love of your life. And did you know they were to become your spouse in the future when you first met them?
The love of my life is, her name is Jamie, and we met while in high school. She was actually in eighth grade. I was going to be a sophomore in high school. And we dated throughout high school and college and were married thereafter and have been married for 32 years. We have two children and four grandchildren at this point. So she definitely has been the love of my life, and we've had a wonderful marriage. But we met as just typical high school kids. We met in church. She was part of the youth group, and so was I. And I just remember a buddy of mine saying, "My sister's girlfriend is a real cute girl, and somebody you ought to date." And I thought, well, okay, but I wasn't really big into dating. I sat with a few girls and the events at church or some youth activities and things of that nature, but we didn't really date or go out on dates at that point in time in my life. So, but I remember passing her in church and remember the exact spot, and I just, all of a sudden, I thought, wow, is that her? She was beautiful. And so I guess if you were to ask me what was the first thing about her that got my attention was her beauty. And I believe also, just to give you a side note on that, I think that's a scriptural thing. God made women beautiful, and he made women to look far better than men, that's for sure. And it's human beings are the only part of the animal people world where in the animal world the male is beautiful and the woman is ugly. You take a male pheasant, he's brown, or he's beautiful and all different kinds of colors, and people will mount them on the walls. But the female, she's just plain old tan or brown and unattractive. So, but in the human beings, the females are God made them beautiful, and he made them beautiful on purpose, and that's, it definitely is there to get our attention. And so that's the first thing that got my attention about her. I didn't know anything about her. I didn't even know her name. I just knew that she was pretty.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, I want to ask you, when you entered the dating age, now, even before you met your wife, what were your moral standards? Or if I may say, what were your thin red lines that you were not willing to cross during your dating life?
Well, there was a lot of things. The end result is I wanted a marriage one day that honored God. So if you kind of work backwards, the end result is you want a marriage and a family that honors God, then you got to look at what's it going to take for you to get there. So if that, I don't think most teenagers ever consider that aspect of their dating relationship. Is this going to end up one day honoring God in the best possible light? I think people date and get married just because that's what they're supposed to do, or they're in love, and hopefully they think maybe one day this will all work out well, and then they could give their marriage and their lives to the Lord and see what God can do with it. I didn't look at it that way. I looked at it and I'm talking literally from a junior high boy through high school, I wanted a relationship that would one day not just be pleasing to the Lord, not just that the Lord would say, okay, that's all right, I like that. Right. That wasn't my purpose. My purpose was to bring honor and glory to the Lord and through my marriage. And then also in my own life, I wanted my life to bring honor to the Lord. And being married, I even knew as a high school kid, even as a junior high young man, that I couldn't do what I do for the Lord unless my spouse was on board with me. So the end result really, really helped me define the beginning of it. So where did I find my wife? I found her in church. Where did we date? We dated in church. Youth activities. You ask, well, did you ever go out to dinner on your own and so forth? We did. But that was my later days in high school, my junior and senior year. But it was never alone. You know, one of the principles that I had is that we wouldn't date alone. We always double dated or triple dated. And you think, well, that's very old fashioned. Well, you know, if you're going to have a marriage that's going to honor God, that means you're not going to fornicate, and you're not going to dishonor your bodies, and you're going to keep your focus on the Lord. And to do that, you're not going to be promiscuous, you know, in a crowd. And so all of our dating was what I would call in public, to where we weren't alone. And even if I was over at her house, her parents were always there. If she was over at my house, my parents were always there. And we got married pure, and the first time we ever had a physical relationship was after our wedding. And we dated for 5.5 years and then engaged for a year. So we were together an awful lot. In the earlier days, it wasn't, when I say together a lot, it was, we liked each other, but it wasn't we saw each other every day. I was 2 years older than her, and so while she was in high school, I was 2 years in college. So there was a lot of time apart and work schedules and things like that. So I don't think our relationship grew too fast. But the principles that I had were basically set forth by the end result of the goals that I wanted. So it's like an athlete. He wants to go to the Olympics. Okay, that's the end result. He wants to win a gold medal. Then what's it going to take for him to get there? Well, my gold medal was the prize of the high calling of God. And I wanted to honor God with my life. So what was it going to take to get me there? Well, it's going to take me a great wife. It's going to take a pure relationship. It's going to take principles that help me keep that pure relationship. So I got to date around the right people, date around the right places, and date with the right purpose.
Boy, that is absolutely wonderful. I'm so glad to hear all that. Let me ask you this question. If you had none of these moral standards, if you didn't believe what you believed about God, about Jesus Christ, and you didn't actually want to conform to the moral standards that you just talked about, do you believe, without those moral standards, that you would have met the love of your life?
In my situation, I think I would have met the love of my life. I just don't think we would have had the depth of love that we have. I think there are a lot of folks out there right now that are married. They're in love with each other. They should have been married. It was God's will for them to marry, but they didn't present themselves a living sacrifice unto the Lord, and they misused their bodies, misused their relationship, and tarnished the effectiveness that they could be used for the Lord, or how they could be used for the Lord. So I do believe that even if I had not found the principles or had the principles that I mentioned a little while ago, I still think I would have found the love of my life. I just don't think we would have been able to glorify the Lord as we should have.
Okay, you said that you don't think that you would have glorified the Lord the way that you should have. I want to point out to the audience that you have spoken in front of hundreds of thousands of teenagers, and that you've been a help. You've been, like we said before, the youth pastor for 27 years, and right now you're the administrative pastor. And so you've had quite a large influence on the United States in general, and also the world. And so are you telling me then that if you did not have these principles when you were dating and didn't live by these principles, that maybe the global effect of your influence would have been diminished?
Absolutely. I think there would have been a lot of discontentment in my marriage. There would have been a lot of stress, which would not have allowed me to become what God has allowed me to become. I don't think God would have blessed me and directed me into areas where he did, because I think I would have forfeited the right to do so. So absolutely, I think I would have tarnished the effectiveness of my life and if I would have misused my dating privileges.
This is Rob Sebastian, and you are listening to the Searching for Mr. Right audio podcast, searchingformrright.net. Pastor, I want to ask, you said you got married right, and I got married the same way. You said you knew your wife for 5 years. I knew my wife for two. And there, especially for a male, there is some physical tension there concerning the marital act, if you will. And I'd like to ask you, what advice would you give to a young man to deal with that energy, if you will, before marriage?
It's a very, very important question. And I think the best way to stay out of trouble is not to get near it. And look, you put John the Baptist in the back seat of a car with a beautiful woman and, you know, a gorgeous moon, she's smelling fine. He would have been John the backslidden Baptist. Okay? So you put yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time, you're going to do the wrong thing. It's just inevitable. So the key to doing right is state what you want. I wanted to get married as a pure young man. So how do you get there? Well, you stay away from the opportunities that would bring you down and allow you to be improper. And, you know, I think there's some chastening of the Lord involved with that. I think God puts a high stamp of approval on purity and morality. I think this country is fighting for its life in this area. I think very few young people have principles and guidelines, because we as adults have erased the yellow line down the middle of the road. We've erased the absolutes, and there's no guidelines or markings to go by. It's basically, you know what, if it feels good, do it. Or if you're in love, do it. Or if you're going to be responsible, do it. And God says, no, you don't do it. You wait until marriage and in the bonds of the sanctity of marriage, then you have that relationship. I have spoken in some of the public schools here, and I've spoken on this issue. And I've had the young men look at me like I had five eyes when I told them that they should wait and get married pure. And one of them flat out said, Mr. Lapina, he said, you're for real, aren't you? And I said, I'm for real. He said, you really mean that? I said, I really do. He goes, I think you're nuts. And I said, why do you say that? He said, well, how are you going to know if you can live with a woman if you don't spend time sexually with her? And I said, the sexual relationship has nothing to do with living with a woman. The woman is your love and your respect for each other will and your purpose in marriage will help your marriage. But I said, the physical act, I said, that is a blessing and a byproduct of a good relationship. If you're misusing it beforehand, I said, it's just a lust. It's just a physical act. And I said, so your goal is to have as many women as you possibly can before you get married. And he said, that's right. And I said, well, what would you want your wife to have that same kind of attitude? And he goes, well, she will. So I said, you know the girl you're going to marry is going to try to have as many boys as she can. He said, yeah, so we can get it out of our system. These are the exact words. And I said, you're looking at it all wrong. I said, and I know you look at me like I'm incredibly foreign. I said, and this kind of teaching is foreign to you. But God has it mind for a relationship to build first of all with God, the relationship with then your girlfriend or future partner, and then thirdly, you and your partner then together have a greater relationship with God. You're bypassing all of that just to just to test out a, you know, your morality. And I said, I don't get that. I don't understand that.
Okay. Well, boy, that's some great advice. What advice would you have for a young lady who is dealing with some of this pressure, or maybe dealing with some of the peer pressure, if you will, to engage in sexual activity before she got married?
Okay, there's a couple ways of looking at this and ways to give the advice. Number one, a lot of young ladies and young men now are waiting till their late 20s to get married. I think it's 26 is the kind of the new average, somewhere in that realm. And their, you know, a reason for that is there's so much divorce and so many things in opportunities for the, you know, the sexual relationship before marriage that it's, you know, what's the use of getting married? And so terminology I don't agree with. I think it's incredibly sinful. Why buy the cow when you can get the milk free? And so that is what, that's the philosophy out there. Well, it's a wrong philosophy. So I would tell a girl this. One, you have to dedicate your life and dedicate your purity to the Lord. And if you belong to the Lord, then for another young man or young lady to touch a man is wrong, because you belong to God. And you allow God to find that person for your life whom he sees fit. I tell our young ladies here, I said, number one, I said, the physical relationship and or marriage, it's not a race. You know, if you're 20 years old or 19 years old or 18 years old and not slept with a boy, you know, it's not like you've lost. These kids feel like they've missed out. You haven't missed out on anything. And, you know, if you're not married by the time you're 24, 25, these girls feel like they're going to be old maids. Well, here's what I tell them. I said, number one, marriage isn't a race. Marriage is of God. I said, you be patient and in prayer, and God will lead you to the right spouse. Just patience and prayer. Constantly and confidently pray that God prepares the young man or the young lady for you and prepares you for him or her. And then you be patient and you wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. It's not a sin to wait. And waiting is something that we all find it hard to do. We don't like. I went to 2 donut shops this morning, and because the first one had a line of cars all the way around the parking lot, and I wasn't going to wait in line. I needed, you know, if I'm going in, I want my donuts now. Well, we all live our lives that way, right? We're very impatient. So I tell our kids, it's good to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And then pray. And then I would probably find principles in the Word of God that would help me and guide me. One is Psalms 105, and I just, one of my favorite passages, Psalms 119, 105. The Word, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Spending time in the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet that shows me what I am, who I am. It shows me about me. The Word of God reveals me. Then a light into my path shows me where I'm going. And if a young person would put the principles of the Word of God in their heart and in their life, you know what? God will show them who they are, what they are, where they, you know, what, you know, big question is, what am I going to be in life? The Word of God will show you. It'll reveal it to you. And you let it soak into you, and God will reveal what you are and your talents, your abilities. And then He'll be the light in your path and show you where you're supposed to go. And I think we get so impatient sometimes. Well, I've got to have this relationship now. Peer pressure's pushed me into it. Or just physical attraction is pushing me into this. Or I want a new experience. I need a thrill in my life is pushing me into this. And instead of letting the Word of God principles of the Word of God guide my future so I can best glorify the Lord. Went around long ways for that answer, but I really think it's important to understand that you have to be patient, you have to be in prayer, and you got to find the principles from the Word of God that'll govern your relationships.
Okay, boy, that is a great answer. I want to ask you. You said you use the term, "If you belong to the Lord," Okay. Could you explain that just a little bit, what you meant by that comment?
In giving my advice here for the past few minutes, I'm probably making the assumption that everybody has already trusted Christ as their Savior and as a believer in Jesus Christ and accepted it into their heart. And I probably shouldn't have assumed that, but the truth, number one aspect for any relationship is, the Bible says in Amos, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? They both need to be of one faith, and they need to have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And what does that mean? That means I understand that I'm a sinner. I understand that there's a price on sin. That Word of God says that for the wages of sin is death, and that death is talking about the death in hell. But it also finishes, but the gift of God is eternal life. If death is in hell, eternal life would be in heaven. And then it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved is saved from that death, saved from hell. And by trusting in the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross for my sins, and trusting in his atonement for my sins, I then can have my sins forgiven and have been given then no more death, but eternal life, and eternal life in heaven. And Jesus then becomes part of me. I become his son, and therefore my spouse likewise does the same thing and trusts Christ as her Savior. We both become part of literally a Christian family, the family of God, and we both have one faith, and we're not divided on what we believe and our future, and we both want to seek God's will. But there had to come a time in my life and mine was at the age of 11 when I realized I was a sinner. I was on my way to hell, but I realized that God loved me, and his son Jesus Christ loved me, and Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross, was buried and rose again, and his blood was paid for and was the atonement for my sin. All I had to do was accept that. When I accepted that gift and that Jesus Christ gave me through his own blood and accepted him into my heart, then I received eternal life with him forever. And I think that's very important in a dating relationship and a marriage, is that the husband and wife need to be of one faith, and that's a faith in Jesus, have a faith in Jesus Christ.
Brother Lupina, I thank you so much for coming. I think we've had a great interview, and we've had a lot of good information here. And what I want to point out is we've gotten information from somebody who has deeply succeeded at this issue, the issue of finding Mr. Right. His wife has succeeded, and he has succeeded. They found each other. And they got married right. They were virgins when they got married. And they dated for 5 years, and they were able to deal with the pressures of single life approaching marriage. And Mr. Lupina, I want to ask you if you have any closing statements.
Yes, I do. And just once again, you know, finding the right wife, finding the right spouse will help you more than anything else to help you find God's will for your life. You can look at anybody that's ever done anything for the Lord, and if they've done it in a magnified way, you'll find one thing for sure: they have a great wife. And you find a lady out there that's done something great for the Lord, you'll find that she's had a great husband. And that's very important. If your end result is to please the Lord and to bring honor to him, then while you're a teenager, while you're a college student, single, young adult, you need to pray and be patient and have principles in your relationships so that God can lead you to the person that will help glorify him with your life and your future. Generations of young people are going to be your offspring. What are they going to have as a legacy? Well, I'd like for my grandkids, great-grandkids, to have a legacy of a family that honored the Lord, and that's my goal.
That's great. Pastor, thank you for coming. Again, this is Pastor Lupina.
My pleasure. Glad to do it, and I appreciate your allowing me some time to express a few of my thoughts and principles from the Word of God.
I had a great interview with Pastor Lupina. There's a lot of good advice given, and I hope you will listen to it. And what I hope for you in your life is that you will find Mr. Right. If you have any questions for me or the pastor, you can go to the website at searchingformrright.net, and I will have contact information there. And I will talk to you next week. This is Rob Sebastian. Thank you for listening.